Good morning. Please allow me to start by thanking your rector, the Reverend Neil Willard, for this generous invitation to be with you and speak today about our gospel's call to peace and a new vision of life. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Nicholas Porter, and for the past 6 years, my college sweetheart, Dorothy Meek, and I have worked closely with your very own Stuart Kenzinger and his college sweetheart, Angie Webb, to create Jerusalem Peace Builders, an interfaith ministry dedicated to empowering peace and leadership for the Holy Land. But let's just review our gospel for a minute. Today's gospel includes us in a powerful mountaintop scene of witness and acknowledgement. Jesus reveals his fully human and fully divine nature. And Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophets, testify to his messiahship. God the Father acknowledges this, and as usual, the disciples are dumbfounded. What they see is the grace at the very heart of our faith, the grace of the reunification of heaven and earth in the love of God in Jesus Christ. And beholding that vision, they say, what is inscribed on your window? Lord, it is good for us to be here. Last October, Stuart, Angie, and 20 pilgrims from Palmer, some of whom I'm having the joy of looking at right now, joined me for 12 extraordinary days of prayer and encounter as we followed our Lord's footsteps through the Holy Land. Our pilgrimage led us to the top of Mount Tabor in the southern Galilee, where the church traditionally remembers our gospel moment, the transfiguration of Jesus. And as the sun set, we too, as pilgrims, joined Peter, James, and John, beholding Christ's glory, remembering all we had seen, and praying for the transfiguration of our world of hurt in God's mercy. And what did we remember? We remembered the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. Grainy photos, tattered letters, pile of children's shoes from Auschwitz spoke of the enormity of hatred and violence endured by Europe's Jews. Later outside, the tree-lined streets of modern West Jerusalem, the busy shops, the spiffy apartment buildings, all testified to a dream made real. And these monuments of Israeli achievement spoke to us in the voice of our master saying, man does not live by bread alone. And suddenly we all felt hungry. Hungry for the word and hungry for the determination of this people. We remembered the Dahesha refugee camp for Palestinians just south of Jerusalem in the West Bank. Treated as distinguished guests, we visited homes and shops and schools, but we were struck by something that no amount of hospitality and graciousness could hide. These families, this community, was poor. Many had no jobs. Many had no shoes. All wore the undeniable marks, of poverty. Bedecked in our sporty clothes with fancy cameras, we somehow felt impoverished. Their hope, their courage, their tenacity spoke to us in the words of the Apostle Paul, saying, "We are treated as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything." And we became aware of a void in our superabundant lives that only holiness can fill. And we remembered, too, the Israeli and Palestinian peacemakers with whom we spoke. Ever misunderstood as traitors, theirs is not an easy calling. Young and old, as they spoke about their personal and national challenges, their faces shone. They radiated a peace and a strength that is hardly, rarely ever seen. Their faces shone like the face of Moses. They had seen God's glory. And their eyes questioned us with Jesus' words, saying, "What does it profit a man to win the world and lose his soul?" And the validity of all our cherished choices of safety, of comfort, of individualism came into question. Standing atop Mount Tabor, seeing ourselves and our pilgrimage transfigured in God's grace, we too said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." But that was not all. In the sun's fading rays, we heard a voice saying, "Come, follow me." At Jerusalem Peace Builders, we hear that voice beckoning us to raise up leaders and peacemakers who will transfigure the modern Middle East. We believe, and I mean we believe, that the future of Jerusalem is the future of the world. And that vision demands that we follow Jesus into the heart of hope and also into the heart of conflict. Complementing our in-school programs here in Houston, in New England, and in Jerusalem, each summer, Americans, Israelis, and Palestinians journey to our summer youth institutes here in Houston, in New Haven, Connecticut, and up where I live in Vermont. And they come as Jews, Christians, and Muslims refusing to succumb to the expediencies and prejudices of this world, or to give up on God's promises. Come seeking spiritual and political transfiguration by the renewal of their minds and the redirection of their history. Over the course of 14 days, their progress resembles that of a hockey stick. It just goes right up. And they argue and pray, confront each other and themselves, laugh and play. And it is a vision to behold. Each evening they share the experiences that they found most meaningful. And while we listen, whether it's in Houston or Vermont or New Haven, their words demonstrate that in a very short time, they've become wise young leaders with a vision of God's promise for our jaded world. Their attitudes, their ideas sparkle like a new creation. And what makes this possible? The grace of their courage and trust. Time and again, even when a group reaches bitter impasse, and it happens a lot, these young women and men refuse to give up on each other's humanity or on God's promise of peace. So I want to end with a story. I don't know how many of you work with young people. I find myself doing it. I never thought I would, but I do. And there's always one kid, isn't there? There's just always one. So I want to tell you about Hen. Hen was 16-year-old Israeli young woman, but she was also a settler, so she lived in confiscated land in the West Bank. And you know, it didn't matter what we were doing. She just had to push the other way. You know, it could have been eating ice cream. There was just something wrong with it. She just wasn't going to go along. And soon, you know, the whole program is beginning to teeter, right? As one young person starts basically a rebellion. Stuart and I and all the staff, we were sweating. You know, just, it could end in disaster. But thank you, Jesus. We got through it. And on the last night, there was a dance party. All the young people in the living room dancing. And out of the mass of young people in the sort of semi-darkness, she screams out to me, "Father Nicholas, I'm coming back next year." And I shout back, "Oh, no, you're not. You've graduated. You finished up. You know, there's no coming back." And then she said to me with a different tone in her voice, "Father Nicholas, you don't understand. I've changed. I get it. I want to come back next year as a counselor." And as she said that, you know, I felt myself starting to spin. And in just a few seconds that felt like, you know, an hour, I remembered all her stiff-necked, negative behavior. And I realized how all her opposition and negativity had acted as a catalyst to move the entire program from superficiality and suspicion to friendship and trust. And as I was sort of drinking that in for a second, I realized what her name meant. Chen, in Hebrew, means God's grace. God's grace had been at work. There is indeed much in this world that is beyond us. The poverty, the suffering, and the violence of the Middle East, and indeed of our own nation, are beyond any quick fix programs or any walls that we can build. Only Jesus Christ can right every wrong. But this side of eternity, there is grace. There is Chen that we are invited to participate in. We saw it. We heard it. We touched it on pilgrimage. And at Jerusalem Peace Builders, we depend on it every day. So look again at the transfiguration window over that altar. We are all made for that vision. We are all made to share that grace. Each one of us has passed from death to life. Each one of us is proof that people can change, that old wounds can be healed, that peace is possible in Jerusalem. We can stand atop of Mount Tabor and join Peter, James, and John saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And we can say that because Jerusalem Peace Builders and the women and men and children of this parish have followed him.